Hello.
Welcome.
It's been a while.
It has really been a while for us and you.
Yes.
And yeah, so we're back. It feels weird. Like a lot of time has passed, I feel, but for everyone else, it hasn't. So
yeah, for us, it's been a long time.
That's the funny thing about recording. it's like it's been a million years, but there was an episode last week. So
and they're like, but you're on time.
What are you guys even talking about? And who are you?
To give you all some perspective, first, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Katie. And we're Murder Mythery.
Yes, we are.
Not Murder Mythery, which a lot of people seem to forget that T.
Yeah. It's Murder Mythery.
Yeah, like mystery, like murder mystery. It's a play on words. I felt like it wouldn't have. I thought everyone would get it. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like say mystery with a lisp and you have mythery.
Which in no way, we didn't do that intentionally to like make fun of people with lisps. It's just, it's a play on words. And it just happens to sound like that kid from The Music Man, The Wealth, Fargo Wagon. Yeah. So yeah, this week has been rough for us to like pin down a time to record. Yeah. Andrew here can finally share with the audience why it is things have been so hectic.
Yeah, so from the start of September until this last weekend, I've been in the process of buying a house. And it's end of October, and we just moved in this week. So pinpointing a day to record has been very interesting with moving and packing and unpacking. And so, yeah, it's been fun.
Fun, period.
Period.
And I've been doing nothing with my life. In the meantime.
Just waiting for me to get my life together.
That's very true. So today we are in Japan for our episode. Surprise. Yes. Which I actually forgot to do. Well, I guess I still have time to do the clue on the Discord chat. Join our Discord, by the way. Join us because I give out like little hints. Nobody ever guessed the Italian episode.
Yeah. We're still a growing Discord and you know, working on getting more people in there. So join if you like what you hear. Join our Discord and talk to us in real time.
Yes, do it. And I posted the link up on our Twitter. So if anybody wants to join, the link is available to you.
Yes.
Do it. So yeah, do it. We're in Japan. I wish we were really in Japan. That would be cool.
I know. Oh, I so want to go to Japan. So bad.
One day when this pandemic is over and we can travel internationally again.
Yes.
Or for the first time, because, yeah.
Is traveling through Canada international?
I mean, technically, yes. But to be honest, it looks just like where I live, just because I live right by the border.
Yeah. Canada so, does look a whole lot like Alaska, too.
Yeah, exactly. On the Alaskan side. Yeah, it's gorgeous, though. I don't know. Buffalo is basically Canada, so, like, mentality-wise. So I guess it's nice there. Everybody's nice.
It's
They're
so
just
nice.
All the nicest guys.
All the nicest guys.
So today's episode has been paired with a cocktail that is brought to you by Homemade Hoopla. I actually finished mine a little earlier, so I was going to be drinking it in real time, but it is called the Cherry Blossom Cocktail, because obviously cherry blossoms, Japan.
Japan.
I don't know about you, Andrew, but I'm not the biggest fan of sake, and usually, like, everything I was looking up with the cherry blossom cocktails had sake in them, but then I was able to find this one by Homemade Hoopla that did not have it. But funnily enough, it's two-thirds part Sambuca, which I didn't have Sambuca, didn't know what Sambuca was. I looked it up, and it was, like, an anise. I don't actually know how to say that word, so I like to say anus because it's funnier. So I was like, oh, I have all that ouzo that I will never use again. So I used that instead of Sambuca. I don't know if that's correct, but it worked. And you add that with 1/3 part grenadine and 2 parts milk, which scared me after the incident with the dirty mango lassi with the curdling.
Oh, yeah.
But that no curdling happened here, so.
That's good.
Which is interesting because this was dairy. And no, I guess that was dairy too, but it was like Greek yogurt. So, but anyways, whoever is like writing down this cocktail is like, just get to the recipe. So you shake it with ice and strain. You can garnish with maraschino cherries. I did not because they're gross. And if you're feeling fancy, you can put some red sanding sugar on the rim. I did not because I'm not fancy. But it was good though. It excuse me, it was reminiscent of like strawberry milk.
Oh.
But like cherry. It was interesting. Yeah. And like a little boozy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that actually sounds really good. I did not know about this cocktail, guys.
It's true. I didn't. I figured he didn't have time, so I didn't even bother telling him.
Though I do still have lots of coconut rum left over, and so I picked up some Root Beer while grocery shopping. So guess what I'm drinking?
A Mad Hungarian.
Yes. Nice. It's my favorite.
It's, yeah, so far that's definitely, besides the birthday, or the Home Sweet Home shake.
Yes.
Which is not something you would, you know, pour for yourself at the end of a rough day.
Like, that's a process.
It's, yeah, it's a bit much. So, yeah. I'm just drinking water now, but that's okay. Hydration is important, you guys.
Yes, hydrate.
Yeah.
Drink lots of water. Next now that I have a fridge with a water dispenser in it, like I drink way more water now because
the Brita
filter
yeah.
is not, yeah.
Mm. Well, and next week, hopefully, we'll be back on track with cocktails and, you know, drinking them at the same time.
Yes. We'll be more coordinated now that everything has begun to settle down again.
Yes. And I'm sorry in advance for people if the audio quality is not like the greatest on my end today. My preamp like decided not to work. Mercury retrograde.
Mercury in mayonnaise.
Mercury in mayonnaise at this point. So, yeah. I'm going to sound a little highway-ish. A lot of ambient noise, basking in the ambience. But, yeah, here to party.
I think our sound booth is doing really good, though, because I don't hear any background noise, and I usually do.
Oh, okay. Well, so there you go. It still helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just gonna do the toast. Very simple, not as big of a backstory as Italy, because Italy had like a whole story behind
spiel.
Their toast. Japan, very simple. They say kanpai. It's like cheers, you know.
Kanpai.
Kanpai. Or they say congratulations, which is omedetou. Omedetou. So, omedetou on your new house.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so.
Arigato.
And that's all the Japanese we know.
Konnichiwa, arigato.
Karaoke. That means empty orchestra.
Really?
It does. It legitimately
Oh.
I did not make that up.
I legit was like, wait, what? Does it really?
Yeah. It means empty orchestra. Fun fact of the day.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
And with that
now you know.
Said, yeah. With that said, Andrew, what you got for me today?
This is very, like, reading through this and reading through everything and building up this piece was, I found very peaceful, actually. Now, not peaceful in a sense that, like, it's, like, serene or anything. It's just, like, simple.
Makes sense.
Like, Japanese mythology is surprisingly simple. just so, toast. Yes. Now, I will admit that when I wanted to talk about this mythology, I was hoping to find some pretty complex things. I didn't really know anything going into this, so I was really excited to kind of get my hands dirty. And it's, I mean, I was disappointed at first, but pleasantly surprised as I was getting into it. It does have a complex cosmology, which we aren't getting into, and a complex deity network, but it's all pretty straightforward, and part of the mythology or legends of creation also tie into the imperial family, since they were seen as gods themselves. Mm. Yeah. So, the legend of creation, or how the Japanese archipelago was made, is absolutely fascinating too. It can all be divided into two parts. One for the birth of all the deities, and the other for the land. But as we go over all of this information, you will find that it is all intertwined regardless. There is mention of an initial trio of deities who came from a primordial oil to produce several different generations of gods, eventually leading to the creation of Izanagi and Izanami. These two were brother and sister, and were responsible for the creation of Japan and the deities that are spoken of to this day. These two eventually had a kind of mating ceremony where they conceived their first child. Yes. Yeah, lots of incest.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this makes me slightly uncomfortable, but I guess the dating pool is pretty small when you're like a guy.
I mean, if the Greek pantheon didn't make you feel uneasy, you know.
Oh, it did. It did.
Though this child had no limbs or bones and was promptly discarded.
That's why incest is bad, guys.
Yes.
Don't do it. So this has been a public service announcement by Murder Myth Theory.
PSA, guys. Don't do it.
Don't do incest.
Don't do it. It's not the best. So they sought direction as to why the ceremony produced their child the way it did, and were told that it's all because they did it wrong.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's precisely why.
And how exactly did they do it?
Well, I don't know exactly how they did do it, but how they were told to do it was apparently Izanagi had to speak before Izanami as the ceremonies focus on purification, ceremonial order, and masculinity.
Oh. So this is like when people are like, I really want to have a girl. I got to eat a lot of lemons. And then like, that's how you have, like, they're like, oh, you did it wrong. You had a child has no limbs. If you want a child with limbs, you got to eat a lot of lemons.
You got to eat a lot of lemons and let the men speak first.
Oh, you wanted a kid with limbs. I see. Sorry, oh, you did. You really did that.
My
wrong.
Bad. You wanted it to be mobile. Okay, cool.
Oh, sorry.
Next time, guys.
Thought you just
next
wanted
time.
To roll it along. Oh, sorry, Japan.
Sorry.
Yeah. We're assholes.
Since they were able to acknowledge the error in their ways and conduct this ceremony correctly, they were able to produce a total of 8 children, and with them the 8 great islands of Japan: Awaji, Iyo, Oki, Tsushima, Iki, Sado, and Yamato. After the successful creation of those 8 deities, they did the ceremony one last time, and Izanami gave birth to the fire god Kagutsuchi.
Oh.
Only to be killed by the flames of the new child.
What? That's a bad day.
That is a bad day.
Did all the kids have limbs?
I'm guessing so, since none of these children were
these
discarded.
Were the official kids, yeah.
Yes, these were the official kids, because they came with islands.
That's really sad, though, about the other one. Where'd the other one go? They just threw it away?
Yeah, discarded, just... You don't have limbs. Bye-bye.
Yikes. I feel like I would still love my kids if they didn't have limbs.
I would too.
Yeah.
Now, after Izanami dies, Izanagi then decides to take revenge on the child and kill him.
Of course.
And from this action, even more deities are created.
Oh. Through the action of killing a god, or
through the action of Kagutsuchi being killed.
Okay.
More deities were created. Yeah.
Whoa. Like a Russian doll effect.
Yeah, kind of. And that's how I actually pictured it. So Izanagi proceeds to go to Yomi, the underworld, in search of his beloved sister to bring her back. While there, he begs for Izanami to leave the underworld, to which she agrees, but under the condition that he not look at her while she goes to ask for permission to leave.
Oh.
Yeah.
From so who? Like Hades, but the Japanese version?
Yeah, the underlord, underworld, lord, god, something. Since he was willing to do anything to get her back, he agrees. So she turns to leave. And while walking away, Izanagi suddenly gets very curious and lights some of his hair on fire to look at her.
Oh, I'm starting to picture like the Hercules version of Hades.
Only to find she has rotting maggot.
She was hideous.
Yep. She was, rotting maggot-filled flesh. He got scared, turned tail, and ran away.
Well, he should have listened.
Exactly. Prime example of why men should listen to what a woman says to them. Women are scary.
Oh. That's the moral of the story.
Yes, women are scary. Listen to them. I'm sorry, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned?
True. Truth.
Yeah. So now Izanagi is fleeing, creating different food to either scare or distract Izanami and her Shikome from getting him, and succeeds in getting out of the underworld, leaving Izanami there. A detail that I didn't write in here was that a lot of the food that was created to use to distract the Shikome by either scaring them or stopping them because they would eat the fruit is how, like, grapes and like cherries and other type of like fruits were actually created, and how they came to be in this mythology. And I was like, oh, okay, some fruits scared the Shikome, like demons, like fruit. Grapes, but like
I'm a diabetic. No.
But like oranges they ate, so I was like, okay.
Maybe they just like the citrus fruits. They're nice and fresh.
I feel like Shikome might have been dogs, because grapes can kill
dogs.
Are
bad for dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
But dogs love mangoes. Not that that's an orange, but it is orange.
Oh, gosh. Yes, it is orange.
Good job, Katie.
10 out of 10. I give you an A.
Yay!
So Izanami is left in the underworld, and since he was able to escape, Izanagi proceeds to do a purification ceremony. As he cleansed himself with water, the water and his robes fell to the ground. Even more deities were born from this water and in those robes as they touched the ground.
It's like most... the veins of Ixion.
Yeah.
Yes. Only... gods instead of centaurs.
Yes, and gods
and water instead of
semen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just drawing parallels.
You know, very, very true. Most notably, Amaterasu, the sun goddess, and Susanoo, the moon and storm god, were created as Izanagi cleansed his face. Specifically as he was cleaning his eyes. Mm. Now, I could actually keep going, since it's like one big story of how everything came to be with lots of twists and turns, but I'm going to have to show some restraint on this one, because the next time we virtually visit Japan, we'll be able to go over Amaterasu and Susanoo's trials and whatever shenanigans they get into on top of that. So it's basically... the whole mythology is one big story, and it's broken up into sections. So I chose to not go into the next section of the mythology until we come back.
Fair.
Yes. Over the last couple of weeks, I have had a couple of, I've had a question to ask, but I don't have a question to ask this time.
You don't.
But what I do have are some Japanese creatures to discuss.
Yay!
Are you ready for this? There's five.
Oh, I'm excited.
All right. There's Akaname, a spirit who licks off the filth in dirty bathrooms.
Okay, I need that, like, now. Not that my bathroom is, like, filthy, but it would save me time.
Right? And kind of makes me wonder, like, was Moni Myrtle an Akaname?
Did she lick filth off of
the walls? She hung out in the bathrooms. And they were clean.
Yeah. Maybe she just had IBS. Like, I could imagine that being a ghost would suck in that way. That they're like, okay, you're completely, you don't have to do anything anymore as a human. Except you still have IBS. Like, that's your torture for the rest of life. Yeah. That would be my hell. Like, yeah.
Like, so, hey, guess what? You're dead, but you still have the shits.
Yeah, I'd be like, God damn it, I was hoping this would be my sweet relief.
Oh, gosh. The next one is Akugyo, a huge species of mermaid found in the waters surrounding Japan.
Ooh, yeah. Huge?
Huge. So not like your normal everyday... what you think a mermaid would be. This one's like a giant version of that.
Oh, creepy.
I'm picturing like half great white shark and human.
I don't know if I should say what I was picturing.
What were you picturing?
I was like picturing Ariel, but like really, really big. And then I was like, man, you know how, like, comfortable it is to lay your head, and maybe you don't, to lay your head on a pair of tits. It's like I could lay, like, right between both of hers because she'd be, like, giant. Be, like, the most comfortable bed ever.
Oh, mermaid titties.
Sweet dreams and mermaid titties.
Sweet dreams are made of titties.
That's true. Facts. Although not for Andrew.
Fair. Yes, true. So the next one is the Bakeneko, a shape-shifting cat.
Like Professor McGonagall.
Yeah.
Only, you know, they could, so they can be more than just a cat and human. They could be anything.
Yeah. Like, but I think, like, the base and the true form is a cat, but it can really just be anything. Like a werecat.
A werecat.
A werecat.
Werecat.
Oh, gosh. The fourth one is the Basan, a fire-breathing chicken monster.
Oh, yeah. That's my jam.
Bok bok bagok, it's barbecue tonight.
Now, does it barbecue itself? Or like other chickens? Or
a fire-breathing chicken monster. So I'm thinking that this one's like a little bit bigger. Probably like the size of a hobbit.
So what happens if their head gets... like cut off like Mike the Headless Chicken? Does the fire just go poof, like straight off the top of their like,
yes,
through their neck hole?
Yes. And like a gas leak that has the
foam, yes, at the end, just like sparking into the air,
just sparking in the air, and like you on know a chicken it's body. Done. Yes. And just running around.
That's amazing. New logo idea.
Yes. Merch.
Oh my god, if anybody knows how to draw, please, please draw that.
We need merch.
We do.
fire-breathing headless chicken monster.
Because we're going to launch a website, like, soon. Hopefully in the next month. I'm going to be realistic with the timeline. But they suggested a merch page, and I was like, oh, one day.
One day we'll have merch.
So, fire-breathing chicken.
Yes. And are you ready for this last one?
Oh, saved the best for last, did ya?
I did.
Ooh, titillated. I'm mermaid titillated.
Ooh, that's the best. This last one is the Ethan Momin.
Oh.
It's okay. A possessed roll of cotton that tries to smother people by wrapping around their faces.
That is the most, like, wholesome thing I've ever heard, yet evil at the same time.
And what's funny is today Yvonne and I, we were going to Home Depot to get some things we needed for the house, like, you know, keys.
Helpful.
Yeah.
When there's a million people living in your house.
We drove by a cotton field. And all I could picture was a roll of cotton coming out of the field to try and smother people.
They have cotton fields in Arizona?
Apparently. We did move like an hour away from where our apartment was.
That's true. I was looking up the temperature, average temps in your area, and they were always like quite a few degrees below Phoenix's average. So I was like, he must be like a decent length away from Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about an hour drive from you know, our old place.
Oh, wow.
I'm okay with that, except traffic.
Yeah. Oh, good thing you're working from home right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now we're basically a good, like, 20, 30-minute drive away from a lot of shopping. We have some shopping close to us, like groceries and, like, other little things. But, like, if we want to go to, like, Home Depot, it's, like, 30-minute drive away.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then with traffic, it's like 45 minutes. I'm like, okay.
So, yeah. Cotton. I like it. Somebody, like, make a cartoon of that. Like, a really, really cute ball of cotton that's just gonna smother your face.
We need masks. That looks like a roll of cotton.
Yes, with like evil eyes on it.
Yes, a roll of cotton mask with evil eyes on it. So what do you have for me?
So I know, kids, it's been a while, but I do have a possible murder. I'm not going to go ahead and say it was a murder because nobody actually knows what happened. It could have been a murder. So, Japan has a really low crime rate, murder rate. I don't know about crime rate, murder rate. They have a very low murder rate. And so when there are murders, they tend to be pretty insane and stand out and are like really creepy. I don't know. A lot of them were just like, there's like true crime, and then there's like heinous stuff that nobody needs to be really talking about. So there were some things I read. I was like, you know what? I can't spin this to be like, you know, fun to listen to. So
there apparently is a line.
There is a line.
We're not going to cross it.
I'm not ready to cross that line, but you know, this one, it is sad, but like, super mysterious. So this is the disappearance of Yuki Onishi. So Greenery Day 2005, which, quick note, Greenery Day is a Japanese national holiday that celebrates the Emperor Showa, and it is a day to commune with nature and be thankful, which I really loved that, because I guess this former emperor really loved plants. So everybody goes out. And so April 29th, 2005, 60 people gathered in the Goshikidai forest for a bamboo shoot digging event. So I guess everybody like hunts down these little bamboo shoots, like not when they're obviously really tall and obvious, but so in this group were a young mother and her two daughters, ages 8 and 5, and the 5-year-old's name was Yuki Onishi. The event began at 1 p.m. and around 2:30, Yuki was excitedly celebrating the fact that she found her first shoot, and she was like, yay, and she told her mom. And her mom encouraged her to go find another one, and she walked away to keep looking. About 20 minutes later, her mom starts looking around the crowd to kind of check up on her daughters, and she notices that Yuki's not in the crowd. And she's like, what the hell? And so she keeps looking, and by 3 p.m., she was really concerned, and they called the police because the child was nowhere to be found.
Oh, my God.
So the police searched the area for 2 hours, and they couldn't find anything. And at this point, they decided to bring in firefighters to aid in the search. So, I mean, this is starting to really gain momentum here.
They're getting serious. Yeah,
they continued to look for Yuki over the next 6 hours, and they didn't find her. They didn't even find a clue, like a shoe or a hat or something left behind. So 3,000 people volunteered and, like, combed through the forest, but she was just gone, and nobody saw a thing. And a police dog was finally brought in to follow her scent, and that is when things got really weird. So the dog picked up her scent, and it followed it into the middle of the forest where it just stopped suddenly. It could no longer pick up the scent, just right into the middle of the forest.
What?
Yeah. So they brought in 4 more dogs because they were like, maybe this one's defective. I don't know how they determined.
Maybe this one broke.
This dog broke. And so the same exact thing happened. They would follow her scent right to the center of the forest and then stop right there. She just vanished into thin air.
Did they dig?
Well, I don't know.
The dogs just made no indication.
Yeah, no, I don't think, like, because it had been a very short period of time, I think they would have been able to tell if somebody had recently, like, dug up an area. But yeah, I'm not quite sure, actually. I don't think they were cadaver dogs. So I think they were just police dogs. So there are a few theories behind her disappearance, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is mystery, there is conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
The first to take into consideration is the obvious possibility that she was maybe, like, attacked by an animal and dragged off. But there would be, like, clothing or blood or bones. You know, there would be some sort of remains left behind by the animal. They don't swallow humans whole. Unless it's a snake.
Right.
Maybe. But then it would still digest the bones, I would assume. Right?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know how snakes work. How do they even poo? I don't even know. Does it come out the tip of the tail? I've never thought about that before. The things we ask on the podcast.
Not from the tip of the tail.
I'm asking because Andrew used to have a snake, so he knows what's...
No, there's actually a spot where their genitalia is also located where they poop from.
If you didn't know that, things you learn on this podcast are very valuable.
Snakes poop.
They do poop, but not out of the tip of their tail. So, another strong theory is that she was perhaps kidnapped by someone maybe in the group or a passerby, but I feel like somebody would have noticed a passerby. I don't know. It was this group of 60 people, and in my head, I can't decide if that's a big group or a small group.
That's like a medium group.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be like a couple classrooms. Like, I'm thinking, like, our classes used to be like 30 kids, maybe 20. So, I mean, yeah, decent amount of people could easily.
Enough that there would have been eyes.
Definitely enough.
Especially if they were looking not the ground.
Yes.
Like, looking around for stuff.
Exactly. Like, everyone was being attentive on purpose. Like, why would... yeah, I don't understand. But it's really sad. So some people reported seeing a man walking through the area with a very large backpack, and because Yuki was very small for her age, and I did write this down, 34 pounds, 3 foot five, she was 5 years old. My 4-year-old daughter is 42 pounds. And like, I don't know how tall she is. I know that's bad parenting, but it's in a file.
Oh, yeah. How dare you not know how tall your daughter
I should. Everybody's like, everyone knows that. But I'm like, okay, the information is available to me if I need to look. I have her medical records. So
how old is she? 84 months.
Oh, God. I don't even... After like 11 months, I stopped. I was done. I was like, okay, she's a year until next year.
Yeah. Until next year.
So I guess she very easily, Yuki, could have fit inside of a backpack, I guess, but that's really sad to think about. But nobody actually saw this happen, though, so it's just speculation. Plus, I don't think that would cut off her scent from dogs if she was like he would still backpacks are not like scent proof.
She would have needed to go inside something that could have that was thick enough to mask the smell at that point to where it wasn't there was no longer a scent to follow.
Yeah,
like in a physical like non-supernatural way of thinking of it, It had to have been some kind of container that she was placed in.
Yeah.
And in a supernatural way,
I mean,
there are some interesting creatures that I did not cover because there's a massive list of that.
That's true.
Massive list of them.
And then there's always the things to consider, like, did she happen upon a portal into another dimension right at the center of that forest? Like, I know, you know, or an anomaly where she, like, one of the retronaut, or randonaut.
retronaut.
Sometimes I sound like I'm, like, 80 years old.
Let's go retronauting. We're gonna go adventure the past.
That sounds fun, though. It sounds like a fun word for antiquing or, like, thrift shopping. Let's go retronauting.
Yes.
I'm totally coining that phrase.
Yes. Trademark, copyright,
yeah.
Retronauting.
Well, I saw online somebody speculated that this little girl maybe, like, because of the wild animal theory, they were like, maybe it was an eagle. I'm like, she was 34 pounds. Like, how strong do you think? I know eagles are strong, but, like, someone would notice that bird trying to struggle through the air holding that 5-year-old child. It's not an infant. It's a 5-year-old child. I don't know. I think we can just scratch the eagle theory right out.
Unless it was a supernatural eagle.
A murder eagle.
A murder eagle. It was a murder bird.
It was a murder hornet.
I mean, but even then, like, there still would have been a scent.
I mean, yeah. And well, but not on the ground.
No, but it would have like followed upwards, and the dogs would have tried to like go up.
Would they?
Yeah, they would have like been sniffing
in
up
the
in the
air.
Like,
does the scent linger in the air, though? That's what I wonder.
I don't know. I always picture, like, the scent of something that, like, those dogs are following, like, to be just kind of lingering in the area, not necessarily on things, but just, like, around things.
Yeah, I like guess a path. I've never... If you're a scent-tracking dog, please contact us and let us know how you do it.
Please paw that dial. Send us some bark mail.
Well, if Yuki is still out there alive, she would now be 20 years old. And
oh, that was recent.
I mean, yeah, it was like 15 years ago.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I know. The other day, John and I were talking, although I feel like John did the math wrong because he said, oh, this was like 50 years ago. I was like, no, it was in the 70s. He was like, yeah.
50 years ago.
But I was like,
No, but like my sister was born in 1977 and she's 43. So why is it 50 years ago? I'm trying to.
Because 1970 was 50 years ago.
I don't consider the whole 70s to be 50 years ago.
Just about. It's the start. Just like 90.
I should text her and tell her she's almost.
Yes. Hey, you're almost 50. Did you know that?
Did you know that 43 is real close to 50? She's going to be like, gee, thanks. So I didn't like want to necessarily add on a sad note, so I'll end on kind of a mysterious note. Did you know that in the waters surrounding Japan, there are these submerged stone structures and ruins that are believed to be like a Japanese Atlantis?
Maybe that's where the huge species of mermaids reside.
Oh, maybe. There's a large pyramid-like structure beneath the surface, and there's this marine geologist, Masaki Kimura. He's been diving and studying the structure for over 15 years, and he's convinced that this was like an ancient civilization, dates back to 5,000 years ago. I guess that's not ancient, but like ancient to us.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And he believes that it sunk by an earthquake 2,000 years ago. And the largest structure is referred to as the Yonaguni Pyramid. Yonaguni Pyramid. But there are scientists that are claiming, no, that this is not a man-made structure. This was formed naturally by water and, like, tectonic activity.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason why I'm, like, bringing this up, I'm going to send you a picture real quick because I disagree. I know I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert on the subject at all. But when I'm looking at it, I'm like, you're telling me this is not man-made? Like, it looks like a pyramid, like with steps and shit. And, you know, anybody can look up Yonaguni Pyramid and, like, look for yourself.
That was not made by natural means.
No. Like, what? It's literally, like, a perfectly, like, it's a pyramid, you guys.
There
it's
are
not
90 degree angles, sharp and clean as a whistle.
And like bricks, individual little bricks.
Yeah, like.
I'm like, yeah, okay, tectonic activity.
Yeah, if that's tectonic activity, then I'm straight.
Oh, you heard it here first, scientists.
Like, come on. Scientists, yeah. You're supposed to be basing your shit off of facts, not fiction. Okay, facts, not
so
feelings.
Because I would love to see a demonstration on how the water can make such clean lines.
Same.
Once the website is up, we will probably start posting pictures that kind of go along with our content, like a blog or something for each episode, but this would be one of those times where, yeah, I wish we already had it up. But maybe I'll put it up on the Instagram so people can see for themselves. Because
we'll put it up on the.
This will be the first time where I disagree with science.
Right? Science, you don't like do bad things. Sometimes your conclusions don't match the hypothesis.
It's true. I just refuse to believe it.
Could this have been made by man? No, it looks to be made by water and tectonic activity. Okay.
Definitely an earthquake.
Yeah, an earthquake made that. Just like...
In fact, that second picture, those bubbles, I know they're coming out of the scuba diver, but they kind of look like a mermaid holding like a trident.
Oh my god, they do.
So there. Proof.
Maybe mermaids are just bubbles.
Maybe. Aren't we all just bubbles? So that was our
Japan.
Episode from Japan. Sorry I didn't pick an actual Japanese cocktail. It was Japanese-themed-ish. Japanese adjacent.
Well, it was more not of a, really like, all, we... Because I remember we talked about the cherry, you know, cocktail being based on like a cherry blossom.
Yeah.
So it was more of like Japanese inspired, but not necessarily from Japan.
Yes. Yes, because, and if anybody has a suggestion on what a good sake is, I wouldn't really know because I've tested out a couple to kind of, no offense, taste like dirty dishwater.
Really?
But...
I love sake.
Oh, see, I'm just not a fan. But, you know, maybe I'm not cultured. Maybe I didn't have good sake. That's, you know.
I don't think you had good sake.
That's the thing. That's a possibility. Yeah, so.
I don't think you had good sake.
We'll see.
One day.
But
yes.
Maybe one
yes.
day.
Yes, definitely one day you will have some good sake and you will enjoy it very much so.
Damn it. Well, we do have a little treat for you guys for next week. I know normally we go to a location, a specific location, and we don't tell you where we go. We give hints on the Discord. Cough, cough, join the Discord. But next Discord. Week, we will be releasing an episode one day early.
Yes.
Because it'll be releasing on Halloween.
Halloween.
Also known as All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
And well, it'll be kind of a bonus episode. No specific location, just kind of going across cultures and how they celebrate this time of year.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
Interesting, indeed.
Interessante. That's interesting.
I don't know if we'll go over Samhain, but I just wanted to say it now because I turned off the Sabrina thing because they kept saying Samhain. And I was mad.
I mean, I have heard a lot of people say it like Samhain, many different ways. So I don't think there's like a specific wrong way of saying it. I think it just depends on where you're from.
It's actually all of those are wrong. The Celtic pronunciation is Samhain. There's no
very much believe that.
And I only know that in people like I'm not trying to be pretentious or anything. You would not even believe how many times I Google pronunciations because I, you know, and you don't know until you know.
You know?
So don't be ashamed to use that Google. It's there for you. Use it. It's a tool. Because where did I hear this? I think it was on Martinis and Murder, actually, where Darren was saying stupidity is not like the inability to learn. It is having the information at your fingertips and refusing to look.
Yes. I like that.
Stupidity is a choice, people.
You get to choose to be better and be smarter. You just have to look.
Dude, I Google, like, I'm straight up wondering why Google hasn't reached out to me and been like, are you okay?
You're good,
you
homie.
You use Google too much. There's a line. You know, I just want to be educated, you guys, and you know, just try my best.
Gotta do what you can. But
do what I can. But yeah, that's our episode.
That was it.
That was it.
That's all there is.
You heard it.
You heard it here first, folks.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Murder Mystery, theme song by Luella Gren, logo by Lexi Wilson. New episodes air every Sunday on Apple, Google, Spotify, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. This podcast is currently entirely self-funded, so in order to keep it going, we really rely on word of mouth. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, review, and of course, tell your friends. If you have questions, corrections, or location and story suggestions, you can email us at murdermysterypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at murdermystery. And don't forget to join us again next week.